Tonight we continue our sermon series from Ecclesiastes. So if you will turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 3, this is a sermon entitled Time. Ecclesiastes 3, this is God's Word. We'll read verses 1 through 15. The grass it withers, the flowers they fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away or what has been pursued. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you are the eternal one. You are the one who decrees all of history. And you're the one who cares for us. You're the one who is the great and powerful God, the creator of heaven and earth, and also the redeemer of your elect. We thank you, O great God, for your power and your might and your love and your mercy and your presence and your wisdom. And Father, we ask that you would give us wisdom tonight. We need it. We are your people in the beginning of a new year. We ask that as a congregation, you would teach us through this passage that we would understand your purposes in our lives and know what you are ultimately doing in and through us and for us. And we pray that you would be exalted tonight. Help your minister as he ministers your word. Help him speak from his heart to the hearts of your people. And help him to decrease as you increase, and may Christ be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things about the time that we have been given here in this world is that as we live, we begin more and more to realize how little time we have, how it is indeed, as the Bible says, life is like a vapor or a mist. It's like the morning dew that's there for a little while and then it's gone away. We look back on life as adults and we see that there are a lot of things that we have done that we wish we had done better. There are sometimes regrets. There's sometimes a sentiment that we wish we could go back to earlier times and do things again. If we're younger, well, we're often deceived into thinking that we have a lot of time on our hands, that time is on our side, and we've only just begun. And that's not true. It seems that way from the perspective of youth, but the Bible says that time is very short. Our lives are a breath. They're a vapor. And the Bible speaks where we are as human beings in this fallen world to remind us to have the wisdom of God with regard to our time. God is gracious in giving our week. The way that He sets up our week is that He gives us a time of rest on the first day. Rest was something at the end of the week, at the end of Israel's work week until the coming of Christ. And now that time of rest is at the beginning so that we can give ourselves to seeking the kingdom and all its righteousness and knowing that God will take care of all other things. But time's a serious business. I would just ask you to reflect for a moment. How are you doing with the time that God has given you? This is a new year. It's a nice time to reflect. It's also in God's providence a very important application and reflection from this passage that God has granted to us tonight is to ask you the question, how are you doing with your time? It's like anything else. It's a gift of God. You're a steward of it. What are you doing with it? Are you using it in a way that is valuable? Are you using it as a consumer most of the time, consuming things, consuming, taking, or are you a producer by God's grace, one who produces and seeks to invest and give generously of yourself, your time, your talents, your tithes, your giving? What do you do with your time? If you notice in this beginning of this passage, we hear the preacher, Kohelet, we hear the teacher, preacher, who's seeing things, giving us wisdom of what appears to be life. Life under the sun. If you notice in the first verse, he tells us that everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. That phrase, under heaven, is the same as under the sun that we've looked at. It's a perspective of seeing things just from a human perspective. Kohelet, or the teacher or the preacher, invites all of humanity to consider this, not first, not merely the believer, but he's asking all of humanity who lives under the sun, who lives under heaven, to consider this, that there is a season and a time for every matter. And you know, we learn a lot about what humanity's thinking through popular culture, popular songs. You think of, perhaps some of you remember, back in the 60s, there was a group called the Byrds who made a hit out of this very passage of Scripture called "In Everything There Is Time, There's a Season." Time, 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 for everything there is a change, there is a time. You hear of groups today, very popular artist today, phenomenally popular, named Adele, who speaks of a million years ago and seems to be striking a nerve or a chord of human beings, selling her album, tremendous sales of her album, because she's talking about time. You search the kinds of songs, popular in particular, that have time in the title. You'll find it's something that all humans are thinking about. You know, whether you like the kind of music or not, it's oftentimes popular culture can be an indicator of what others are thinking, especially if they're buying it. It means that it's meaningful to some degree to them. And oftentimes it can tell us that they're in a very similar place as we are. Lots of songs on time. One of the most important albums I remember that had a huge impact on me that made me think about growing older was an old 50s album by Frank Sinatra called The Seasons, the September of My Years, where he was getting older and looking back and thinking about time, thinking about where he was going and where he had been. And something common to all humanity, beloved, we're to think about time. What do we do with it? The preacher, Kohelet, is speaking to our common humanity. He's telling us in an apologetic way, in a way of defense, that there is meaning under the sun, but at first glance, it's not always noticeable. At first glance, what we see around us is all this change. And that's what he's wanting to impress on us in verses 2 through 8, is that there's this perpetual change, 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 to the point of oppression. Notice, as we go through it, if I just may highlight a couple of the phrases just for repetition, and then draw out some truth from it. But notice just for a moment with me in verses 2 through 8. What do you do with this? A time to be, a time to, 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 over and over and over. That feels almost oppressive. Is the author saying that from his perspective under heaven, under the sun, all he sees is that the one thing that never changes is that there's always going to be change. That there's always going to be seasons. And if you note as we go through it, note something very important is that we're not in control of those seasons. That's often why other people in our culture are speaking about time, are thinking about time, are listening to songs about time. They're curious about what to do with the little time they have. It's important that we think about these things. So let's do that. If you notice verse 2, everything significant that we call our life is located in verse 2 between a time to be born and a time to die. Everything that we find to be important and significant is found in verse 2. And I want you to feel the weight of that. A time to be born, birthdays, celebrations, those can make us joyful. We remember those. But death days, we want to avoid those. We don't want to think about those. But everything is between a time to be born and a time to die. One of the things that Kohelet shows us and that the preacher, the teacher, wants to show us in Ecclesiastes is that death is an intruder in creation. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be here. It's here because of sin. It's here because of man's rebellion against God. We should not have to die. That is, we weren't created to die. And to be born, we come so narrowly, so silently, through the thinnest canal into this big world full of meaning. And then we, in our estimation, we face this looming, dark ocean called death at the end of things. Now, philosophers are on to that. Philosophers think about that. Why is there death? How can I have any meaning in my time if I know I'm going to die? You know. So the first season is that frames all of our seasons is a time to be born and a time to die. Beloved, I encourage you to not just think about your birthday, but think about your death day. What do you want to do with your time before you die? Our forefathers, the Puritans, said that it was important, especially regularly to think about our deaths and to remind ourselves this world is not the end. There's another end. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die and to face the judgment that is apart from Christ. Notice the oppressive, a time to, a time to. Notice the seasons, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what's planted. Let's think of the plants that we plant in the spring with great hopes. We very delicately put their beautiful annuals in the soil, and then there comes a time to pluck them up. They've served their purpose. The season's over. It's time to move on. And that's life. You think of a time to kill, a time to heal. Have you had that animal who couldn't function, who you loved very much, perhaps as a pet, and that animal helplessly looks up to you for help, and they're sick, and you take them to the vet. You take them to be healed, and they're healed for a season. But then there's a time to put them to sleep, and you have to say goodbye. That's another season, and it's hard. There's a time to break down, a time to build up. There's a time to tear down old things. Nothing's permanent. It's a reminder of that. Trees fall on houses. Porches have to be torn down. Where trees fall, we had that happen recently. It's a reminder. Most of it has to be torn down and be rebuilt. A time to weep, a time to laugh. There's a time where we must weep, we must cry. Weeping over our sins because of our condition, weeping in circumstances, weeping because of death, weeping because a relationship went bad or sour, a friend that we thought we had betrayed us, weeping. But there's also a time to laugh, a time to have a belly chuckle, a time to enjoy a moment with friends. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time that we must go to funerals, beloved. We must pay our respects, as we say. We must say goodbye. My father, as he's gotten older, I may have told this story, but he reminded me that he's wearing his suit a lot more often, and it's not to church. It's to say goodbye to old friends. He's wearing that suit more often now. He's having to go and mourn. And then there's times of dancing. There's weddings. There's times of festivities. There's a time to celebrate. It's another season. There's a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. You think of the times when we're sick, we may stay away from one another. A time that there's a surgery that has radiation involved that we have to keep a distance. A surgery that we have to leave all of our loved ones and go under the knife by ourselves with surgeons we barely know. It's a time to embrace when we have our loved ones back in our arms from that surgery, but there's a time when we must not embrace, or we cannot. There's a time to seek and a time to lose. There's a time to seek one's spouse in life, and then there's a time to lose one's spouse in life. There's a time to seek employment, seek a job. There's a time to lose our jobs, our employment. There's a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to keep is, if you're especially like me, a collector of things. When I was a young man, I collected lots of little things that are insignificant now. It's time to cast them away. I no longer need them. We oftentimes find ourselves, I think, casting away things when we're moving, when we're thinking about moving. It's a good time to cast away. We see signs that say moving sales, and that's exactly what that is. There was a time for them to keep that stuff, and now it's junk that they want to get rid of. There's a time to tear, a time to sew. That tearing, the tearing of the garment in the ancient world was a time of repentance. A time of tearing to be sorry for one's sins, but then a time to sew, to have a new garment for celebration, for worship. There's a time where we must be silent and a time where we must speak. Here are the seasons. You know them. I illustrated many of them. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. All these seasons, always changing. Beloved, what do we do with that? We can't control when we mourn and when we dance, really, can we? Which of these do you have power over? Do you have power over your death? Do you have power over your birth? What do you really, how much freedom do we have at the end of the day in determining how we want to live in this world? That's what Kohelet's getting at. That's what the preacher, the teacher's getting at. Is it, if we really look at all of these seasons and we hear it in this poetic form and the way it's repetitive like this, we should feel a burden. We should feel a weight that we can't carry. That's his point. That's how many people live in this world, beloved. Is they live with a burden, a weight, somewhere between birth and death, and trying to make the most of this world. Now, we are to be partially sympathetic and as compassionate as possible, but we're also to remember, as Romans 1 tells us, that they're taking a lot of truth and exchanging that truth for a lie. So at the end of the day, though we are sympathetic to fallen people, and though we want to always show compassion as Christ did to us, we also want to remind them that at the end of the day, they are taking the truth that they see and they're doing something wrong with it. They're suppressing the truth. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen. In fact, if you would think about this with me for a moment, most of the people, as they face these seasons, try to be busy thinking about something else. If you notice, there's two sure things in the world. All the seasons are ever changing. So what are the two permanent things the author tells us? Here they are. In this passage, in this context, two things that never change. One, that life's going to be toilsome. What gain has the worker from his toil? Verse 9. And 10, I've seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. As he said in chapter 1, that life is hard, if I could put it that way. Our toil, our work that we do is difficult. Remember, this should remind us of Genesis 3, that because of man's rebellion against God, he was forced to labor with difficulty. We're forced to labor with difficulty. That doesn't undermine the call of God. It doesn't undermine our vocations. We're going to look at that in another sermon. Our callings, our vocations are from God. But whatever we do, it can be difficult. It's hard. It's toilsome. That's the one thing permanent. Another thing that's permanent in this passage is just what's obvious throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, and that is that we're all going to die. Death is permanent. And so those are the two things. That life is going to be difficult, although oftentimes joyful, as we see, and that we're going to die. Now, that'd be awful sad if I just smiled and left it there, wouldn't it? We'd all be very discouraged. But I think we do have to meditate here under heaven and see perhaps how we often feel. Maybe we're tempted to feel this way sometimes. Maybe this is just a glance or a glimpse, a look into the hearts of those who are fallen around us. Maybe it's a reminder of the place where we were before we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But I think it can help us, because there's at least two ways we can respond to this. And that's an important point I want to make tonight. The first way is to just go on being imprisoned in circumstances you cannot control, in seasons that will always be changing, and then you die. You've got that choice. Or the other choice is to see God's purpose in it, because he's revealed that to us. And he's using those circumstances, those changes that we're not in control of, to remind us that he is in control and He's going to make us all beautiful in His time. You know what's interesting? The fallen man thinks in disobeying God's commands, he's finding freedom. The fallen man thinks that in wasting his time and doing what he wants to do, not thinking about death, thinking about it another day, maybe, so to speak, distracting oneself so they don't have to think about it, drinking themselves silly, numbing themselves with drugs, feeding on excessive entertainment and television and amusement of all sorts, anything that will keep them from realizing they're actually slaves, slaves of seasons that perpetually change. You see, the unbeliever, we perhaps at one point we can recall being in this place. The unbeliever wants to be free, freed from the shackles God would put on him, freed from the shackles of morality, to do whatever they want to do. You think of a misapplication of this from the 60s when the birds were singing and everything turned, turned, turned. They were misapplying this. They were misunderstanding this. You think of people who just want to break free so they don't have to do God's will. They think they're living free, but you know what? They're slaves. They're prison. They're prisoners who live between the day of their birth and the day of their death. Because there's absolutely nothing they can do but be oppressed by this reality anytime they're honest enough to look at it. I want you to understand that. The Bible tells us later, Kohelet tells us, that it's better to be in the house of mourning than it is in the house of dancing and partying. And the reason it tells us that, I think, later in the context, is that oftentimes things like that awaken us. Funerals are good times to remind us that we're going to die too. Visits to cemeteries, saying goodbye to loved ones. Those are good times to be awakened from the numbness, from our so-called seeking after security, although we're imprisoned in this world, in this life between birth and death. There's no escape. When we read this, a time, a time, a time, there's no control we have over it whatsoever. And so here's your choice tonight, beloved. Do you want to live as slaves? Do you want to live in prison? Or do you want to live in Christ with purpose? Because when we understand that Jesus Christ has come down and lived in all of these seasons in His life as God-man, when we understand that in all the seasons of Christ's life He came to live perfectly for God, to fear God from His birth to His death, to perfectly keep the law, keep all of the commandments of God, to perfectly love God with all His heart, soul, mind, and strength. He showed that life has significance, that there is significance. He came to give Himself on the cross through His death to completely destroy death as our end, to give us life in Him, to give us eternal life, to give us hope, to tell us that everything that we're seeing under the sun, though we're limited in perspective, we must look above the heavens, above the sun, where Christ is, and see that we're not imprisoned to mere seasons and circumstances. No, God has a purpose, and it is in Christ to make us beautiful. And that's verse 11. He's made everything beautiful in its time. And He's put eternity into man's heart is so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Christ has come under the sun to be born, to die, in order to destroy death, and in order to destroy that which terrifies us, in order to plant and to pluck up, in order to kill and to heal. Christ came to do all these, to go through all of these seasons under heaven to show us their significance. There's significance for us. And there's hope in Him. And so, beloved, we don't have to live imprisoned. We don't have to live as those who are just reacting to circumstances and seasons and events. No, because of Christ, because of His Word, because of His Spirit, because He's come to live in our midst, because He's come to change us, to give us perspective, to give us understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live, all of those circumstances have purpose. They have meaning for making us like Him and for giving us hope beyond the grave. And so there are seasons under heaven, but that there's a purpose, and it is to make us beautiful. Verse 14 says, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him. That's ultimately what should shape us in Christ, is that we see Christ in our flesh living through these seasons, knowing that there is significance, teaching us that there's life to be had in Him, that there's life after death, that there's life with Him, that He's come to set us free from a mere closed perspective of living under the heavens or merely under the sun, but to set our eyes on things above and to even seat us with Him in the heavenly places. You see, Christ has come to show us how to fear God and to keep His commandments. That while we live under these seasons, we're to understand that each one of these seasons is to make us more like Christ and to cause us to live in awe of God, the Eternal One. Because at the end of the day, beloved, Christ is the only permanent one. He's the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is our hope. And He's the permanence we look to in the change of all these seasons. Don't forget the end of Ecclesiastes and what it says. I want you to be reminded that the end of the matter, all has been heard. This is the place where He's going. In the final chapter, verse 13, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Christ came to experience all of these different circumstances, but He came to give His life for us so that we might live forever, so that we might have meaning, so that we'd be set free from slavery in order to fear God and keep His commandments, not to think somehow in a deceptive way that we are being free by breaking free of what God has given us, but by learning to live fearing Him in obedience by His grace, because that's what truly makes us free, and that's where we find our life in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. Lord, we thank You that You have given us an understanding of time. Would You help us in the different seasons of our lives as we look at all of the different things that we're confronted with, all the different circumstances in which we find ourselves and live. Would You help us to remember that You are our permanence ultimately. You are the one who gives us life. You're the one who saves us from death. You're the one who frees us from slavery to the oppression of just being what we think is a mere subject to all of the changing and the perpetual change in our lives. We thank You. You're the one that gives us hope beyond the grave for eternity. We thank You that You have turned our mourning into dancing. And Father, we ask that You'd give us wisdom to take the time that You've been given us. Take the time, especially as we see the grace that You've bestowed upon us in Christ, and give us wisdom to make this our best year, to make us stewards of our time in every way, to be mindful of the way that we try to numb ourselves, to be mindful of the idols that we tend to worship in our heart, the things that we seek after too much. Let us be mindful of how we easily waste time. Help us, Lord, free us from that. Let us be free to fear You and to keep Your commandments, to grow and to flourish and to thrive as Your children under the sun. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.